Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA. MLB, college football, college basketball. Some tennis for y'all. A little bit of golf. Maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back Rocky.
Let's start the show.
Well, let's start the show. Hello, hello. And welcome to our show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside. Up, oh, where's Tay? Well, I know he's there with us, so maybe we're having some technical difficulties, but we are here to talk some sports. We've got the AFC Championship. We've got the NFC Championship. We've got a bunch of new coaches in the NFL. We've got some NBA talk. We've got a couple of segments, a couple of teams we want to profile for you. So much, much sports talk here on Ray and Tay today. And let's
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there's
there
Tay.
There we go.
Okay.
Oh, man, listen, it's all right. But you know what? For championship weekend, sometimes you might not get there on time, but you sit down on the sofa, and then you get yourself ready for these football games, and then you're ready to go, and Tay is ready to go. Ray, they got to call us, 718-664-9098, hyped up. Send us your picks. We've been getting a lot on the email. Maybe we have to read some at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Who's going to the Super Bowl, baby? Oh, man. So I heard you. You're ready to talk coaches. Let me ask you this. Before we go to the five jobs that are filled, there's some sort of, you know, kind of breaking news on the two jobs. Doug Marrone backed off of the interview for the Denver Broncos. I guess he doesn't want to give away his information because everyone believes, Ray, that your boy, Kubiak, will go back home with John Elway in Denver and become their next head coach. What do you think about that?
Well, it's the logical fit,
yep.
And I would imagine that Peyton Manning either wants an offensive head coach or a Tom Moore type as his offensive guru, especially that this might be his last year. If he comes back, it probably will be his last year. So he probably wants an offensive guy.
And Kubiak would be perfect, right, with the zone read? And I think it might be – it might be a dream come true for Manning in his last go-round. It really might work out perfect.
I would argue, though, that a defensive guy is probably – because Peyton Manning can handle the offense. It's the defense. He almost needs to be
– right. But they've got to hire a coach, Ray, for the rest – you know, for not just Manning, for the next couple of years because Manning won't be there,
of course,
you know.
Of course.
And I think Elway's got a great relationship with him. That's his guy.
Yeah, and look, he fizzled a little bit in Houston, but I think that he's earned himself a next go-round. And Denver's an interesting job because you'll have Peyton Manning for a year, maybe. Maybe if the sun and the moon line up, you have him for 2 years. And then they're going to blow that team up completely. So you might go from being a playoff team and a Super Bowl contender to then – you know, in 2 years, depending on who your Brock Osweiler or whoever your quarterback is, you might not make the playoffs for 3 years.
Ray, wait. You want the sun and the moon, and you don't have faith in Brock? Come on,
no player.
Well, wait. So now let's go. And we both think it's good. And obviously, we have to give him props. He was a great OC this year for Baltimore with all that they went through, fixing and, you know, helping the offensive line, helping Flacco, Forsett, you know, bringing in the veterans and Daniels and Steve Smith Sr. So Kubiak, he's good. He's a coach. Now in Atlanta, to me, it seems like, and they're saying even in San Francisco that Shanahan could be the OC, but in Atlanta, Ray, it seems like it's Dan Quinn and I don't know who else. So that would be interesting, unless Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator from the Lions, who, gosh, what a defense, unless he gets considered. But I think it's going to be Dan Quinn, maybe outside shot for Josh McDaniels, because remember, Pioli is down there in Atlanta and just got it promoted. And, you know, that whole Atlanta front office is all related to New England. So McDaniel and Quinn would have to be the front runners.
You know, I don't know what they're doing in Atlanta. I got to be honest with you.
I don't think they know what they're doing, Ray.
Yeah, well, it might be. It seems like everybody gets left out. At the end of the day, it's musical chairs, and one team gets left out. And I feel like that team is the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta Hawks are number one. They're like, we're not getting left out of nothing.
Wow, they want to sell that team, though, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But with the Atlanta Falcons, you know, Daryl, why is it? By the way, Quinn is on everybody's hot list, but about a month or two ago, Daryl Bevel was on everybody's hot list, too. So
it seems like it's quieted down for him,
does,
which is
right?
strange.
Now,
and I think he does a great job.
NFL has rules that you can't really talk to anybody this week, but if Seattle loses this week, obviously you can talk to both of them, but I think even if Seattle wins, you can talk to them next week. Because there'll be two.
Only if you've this is the weird rule. Only if you've already interviewed them once. So then you could talk to them. I think they said on Tuesday. If you've interviewed them once already, you can have a second interview with them, which Atlanta I think has. So anyway, so we worked our way with that. Let's go backwards today with all these other head coaches because we got to chime in on it. We got to say props to Ohio State and all that stuff and everything. But Fox, he's a third team. In 5 years, great coach, a couple of seconds away, a field goal away from beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl with the Panthers. Great job with the Broncos, even with Tebow at quarterback, with Manning. He's been in the playoffs. So Fox is, I think, maybe underrated, actually, as a head coach. But I still wonder who would be the OC.
I tweeted out that the Bears, that's the Bears kind of guy, don't you think? Like they strayed away. Lovie Smith, you could argue, is a Bears kind of coach, but Mark Trestman is an offensive-oriented coach. They gave him the offensive tools, but they didn't have their identity. They weren't the typical Bears.
Have you heard anything about who the OC might be, though? That's what I think is important in Chicago. So I'll be interested to see what they do there.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard. I haven't heard who they're looking at.
So, And then the Raiders get old friend from the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio, who left the Broncos staff. And remember, Adam Gase, he could be the OC in Chicago. So watch for that. That's what I just realized. He's out there. And I bet that he might be the one. So do you like what the Raiders did with Del Rio?
I don't know how attractive that Raiders job is to somebody that's got another option. You know what I mean? I think it's number 30, 31, or 32 on the list of NFL head coaching jobs. But it's still.
But they have nice pieces. They have nice pieces.
They do, but don't you feel like they've been treading water ever since they lost in the Super Bowl?
No, definitely. Look, it's been a rebuilding job, and I think they had such salary issues a couple of years ago, and I think they're finally starting to get together. I don't like how they signed all the veterans last year. But they're realizing they need some old guys to teach the young guys how to win. And I think the young guys, they've drafted well. Khalil Mack is a baller. The other guy he was dancing with, when they got their first win, Teo or Mayo, whatever his name is, he's good. And I think they got a quarterback. And I think Derek Carr is, I think he's a future stud with this rookie class with him and Bridgewater there's some good quarterbacks. So that I think the Raiders should be happy about. The question is, what do you think about the Jets and Buffalo? First with the Jets, I think Todd Bowles, very solid. I think brilliant defensive guy in mind. Opposite of Rex in terms of he's not going to be blowing hot water. Remember, he's a former player, so he's sort of like still calm, still waters, and I think he actually gets a lot of respect. And a lot of the Cardinals players said, look, privately, behind the scenes, he's actually a little fiery, which I would probably believe, because with the Cardinals. And think about the Cardinals this year, the defense, with backup after backup quarterback and then crazy injuries, the defense still performed.
Yeah, the Jets traded essentially their coach to Buffalo. They didn't take Doug Marrone. It's funny because I thought Doug Marrone would come to New York.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know what's on Doug Marrone's mind. That's another question. But Bowles is interesting. He's a defensive guy replacing a defensive guy. He comes in with the new GM. So there's
and the veteran OC. And Chan Gailey, your boy from the Cowboys.
Chan Gailey. That,
yeah.
that was where I was going with this.
Yeah.
A guy who's been around the block and has been a head coach a couple times.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see the dynamic between them. Now, did Bowles bring him in, or did the GM make that marriage?
Oh no, I thought it was Bowles. You know,
okay.
I think in his experiences, I think he's, you know, they've crossed paths before.
So
yeah.
The slogan, Todd Super Bowles.
The Post and the Daily News had the same back page. That's horrible. That's sloppy. I'm excited for him. I just think it's a hard job, and until you get a quarterback or figure out what you're doing, maybe they could trade up and get Mariota, or maybe he drops. I don't know. It's fascinating because everybody's saying it's Winston and Mariota 1-2, and I'm like, well, does Tennessee not believe in Mettenberg? I mean, I know he got a little injured, but it'd be weird to 2 years in a row, you know, be drafting. I just think Tennessee needs so much more. You know what I mean? And to me, you almost want to see if this guy, because he has a cannon, if Mettenberg can do it, because Mariota is not going to step in right away and start. So, anyway, tell me about Rex in Buffalo. And I love the OC and Greg Roman. You know, I told you Rex would get a job. You were kind of doubting and hating. But now that he's got it, I kind of like it. I got to admit, I feel like he's rejuvenated. You know the players in the defense, they're going to ball out for him. And I think Greg Roman, I don't know. I get a good feel from him. I will be interested to see what they do with the quarterback, if it's Manuel or they sign, you know. But don't sign Sanchez. Stop that. Just stop it. I don't want to hear that. He'll turn the ball over and mess up the whole thing.
Ground and pound, and Mark Sanchez took you to two AFC championships.
All right. He still got the tattoo of him, so anything's possible.
Oh, my God. But you know what, and it's not hating at all. I thought that Rex Ryan I still think that Rex Ryan is a great motivator. He's a great defensive guy. He's a great rah-rah guy. I had a lot of issues with him on offense. I had a lot of issues with clock management. And I don't think any of that changes when he goes to Buffalo. I think it's the same exact story. The defense gets a little better. The
mm-hmm.
offense has a couple of tools, but they don't have the quarterback, and that's the key. And maybe Rome, I don't know if the offensive coordinator gets enough freedom to do whatever he wants, but Rex Ryan is just going to do in Buffalo what he did in New York, which is just be okay. His defenses will be good, and his offenses will be bad, and they'll be, you know, about
maybe he gets lucky.
9-17.
Maybe they, you know, maybe they draft Oregon State quarterback Sean Mendez. Look, we know the two quarterbacks are Winston and Mariota. 3, 4, and 5 is probably Hundley, Petty and Sean Mannion. So maybe they get lucky with a Petty or the kid from Oregon State, Mannion, and maybe they find the diamond in the rough, or maybe Manuel develops. You know, we don't know what could happen. There's not much in NFL free agency this year, the quarterback position. It's Sanchez and, like, nobody. I mean, you know, it's not too good. So, and I don't think they can get a Cutler or Andy Dalton. So it's, you know. So let's talk about the Niners. Jim Tomsula, their defensive line coach. He did coach that one game. He was 1-0 in week 17, and, you know, a couple of years back, I guess, when they fired Nolan. The locker room seems to love him. But, you know, he goes from being, you know, one of the guys, as one of the coaches hands-on, to being now, you know, when you're the head coach, you're sort of the CEO of the other coaches. How do you think that all plays out? And Vic Fangio is no longer there, so they got to get a DC. What do you think happens with the whole 49ers situation? And do you like it?
So I don't know enough
now
to say whether I like it or not. So I'll just say it's neutral right now. But I think the key to that team is obviously rebuilding the defense because,
and
you know,
Kaepernick.
Smith, right, exactly. Well, that's where I was getting to. I was leading up to it. So you got some defensive, you know, tweaks to make. You probably need a playmaker on offense, and you need a quarterback's coach. You need somebody to eat lunch, dinner, breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast. Eat every meal with Colin Kaepernick. Get in his head and let this guy reach his full potential. Because
Other than that flash in the pan,
you know, in the playoffs a couple of years, he's been pretty disappointing. And I'm a huge Colin Kaepernick fan. I would love to have him on my franchise. I like him much better than a guy like Cam Newton. I like him better than a lot of quarterbacks. I think he has all the tools and all the skills to be a top five, yes, I said five, quarterback in the NFL. And this guy, you trying to tell me that you wouldn't be so scared facing him in the playoffs? Forget about the regular season. Get to the playoffs and you want to face Colin Kaepernick? I don't know. He's got
Do you hire one of the Shanahans as OC? The father?
I'm tired of all the Shanahans.
Kyle?
Tired of all the Shanahans.
Oh, wow.
No.
You don't think either one of them gets a job?
I mean,
Kyle left Cleveland.
I'm not saying I don't want them to be employed. I'm just saying, look.
I'm just saying, do you think they would like him?
They couldn't handle RG3, who's this, like, new age quarterback. And Colin Kaepernick, their games are a little bit different. But I don't think they – no, I wouldn't have them –
Well, it's interesting that you say that, though, because they obviously handled him to some degree because he got rookie of the year and led him to the division title.
But what happened the next 2 years?
I think that's the father. I think Kyle and Kaepernick can be kind of nice. I really do. I think that could be interesting. So, before we get to this preview, we still got what was the other job? We had Buffalo, New York, San Francisco, Chicago. We're missing Oakland.
And Atlanta, that's unsolved, the unsolved mystery.
And we're still waiting for Atlanta and Denver. So I think we did the other five. So I think it's, you know, there's obviously still, you know, we promoted Butler at Pittsburgh for the D.C. Dick LeBeau is meeting with Arizona, which is funny, right, because they have all the oldest coaching staff in the world out there. But Bruce Arians might hire Dick LeBeau as the D.C. I got a funny feeling, though. He might go with Vic Fangio. I think he might take the Niners D.C. So that'll be interesting to play out and see. You know, obviously Callahan left the Cowboys, so Scott Linehan's got that, and Callahan went to the Redskins. So a lot of people moving around.
But Marinelli stayed.
Yes, that was big. And Garrett stayed. That was big with, you know, good money. The question is, can you keep both? Can you keep Bryant and Murray? You got to, right? Yeah, I mean, he's got to find a way.
Well, the thing is, Murray, because running back salaries have come down, or at least have leveled off, so Murray, you could franchise and give him franchise running back money. You don't want to franchise Dez and give him franchise receiver
money. You can't.
you can't
afford it.
Yeah, so you gotta do some creative deal making. So maybe you sign Dez and you franchise DeMarco, but...
Or do you let DeMarco go and say, I'll take Adrian Peterson for $200?
That's an option.
Or Ray Rice. I don't know.
And maybe that's how you play it in negotiating, on the negotiating table. You say, look, I got one Hall of Famer, and I got one guy, if he played longer, would make the Hall of Fame, but two All-Pros sitting out there who still haven't hit 30.
Or in the first round, I draft Melvin Gordon, who will be a first-round pick. I think the Cardinals will take him in the 20s. That's going to be fascinating. So Ray, let's before we get to this preview, we just got to clean it up. I got to toot my horn. I felt it. I thought it could happen, and it really did. Ohio State. It wasn't a classic championship because it could have been a blowout. There were so many turnovers, and they kept Oregon in the game. But I think Ezekiel Elliott is going into the clubhouse as the leading Heisman candidate. I think he's a stud. And I think Urban Meyer, which I said on the show, once he won the championship, I think he's the best coach in college football. Did you hear he, after the game, the next day, he took his defensive staff, front seven, just the front seven, and he put them on a 10-day cleanse fast of Weight Watchers, and players lost anywhere from 5 to 11 pounds. They felt faster. They were a little bit lighter on their feet, and they got ready for that Oregon offense. I know they missed Carrington, but isn't that just – that's brilliant. Even if it didn't mean that much, you know, really physically,
impact.
It's psychological, exactly.
Yeah.
And for some guys, you know, that lost 10 or 11, it does make a difference. You're going to be quicker. I thought it was a brilliant coaching job. I'm glad Cardale Jones stayed. I thought it was great. He went back to his old high school.
Now, what did the other two do?
There's no word yet, and I think Braxton, now that Cardale stayed, I think Braxton is going to Florida State or Oregon. I really do. And I think Barrett and see, the reason why, to me, it was smart for Cardale to stay is because he got no guarantee from the coach. But remember, both these guys are injured. So in spring practice, he'll be there with the new offensive coordinator, because remember, their OC went to University of Houston. And he will be, you know, the leader in the clubhouse, coming off a championship, being a junior, and the fact, because he's got the cannon arm, he opens up the running game. That's why they were special. I don't know if Barrett would have won the championship, because when Barrett was there, Elliott was not as explosive.
He's also 6'5", 250. So when they needed
a
first down,
he got it.
Did you see how many yards after contact he had? Now, granted, you can't do that in the NFL, because you'll get hurt.
No. Yeah.
But in college, against those, even those,
he was Cam Newton and Vince Young combined. He was amazing. The kid played great, and I'm glad he went back to school. I think he has a chance to win the Heisman as well, and he's got a chance to be a first or second round pick compared to anywhere from a second to a fourth. Well, and maybe if he has a great year and wins the Heisman, he could be a top five pick next year. Who knows? So good for him.
But
what do you think about
the better than he did, right? 3-0 in three games.
Oh,
like,
yeah, but no, but he can get better. I mean,
no, he can get
look,
better, of course.
Yeah, he's got to learn how to read,
game,
you know,
yeah,
coverages
sure.
and defenses. But what? Let me ask you this. Did you, watching the game, did you take anything from it with Mariota in terms of your concerns about his transition to the NFL?
Yes.
Or you just, yeah, you did.
No, I'm
okay.
concerned.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. I even said before,
yeah,
I don't think this guy projects today as a great NFL quarterback, and I hope that he goes. He won't, though, because he'll,
yeah,
you know, I think he should slide down to mid-first round, in which case he'd go to a good team. But he'll go to a bad team, and he'll be pressed into starting, which I think is the wrong thing. I would love to see him sit, learn a system, and not
play
the first year.
Would you say 2 years?
2 years ideally, but, you know, you're not going to let your first-round pick sit on the bench. Even I'm not crazy enough to think that you can let your first-rounder sit for 2 years, you know, unless you're Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? Unless it's like a very special situation where you're sitting behind Brett Favre.
Yeah.
But you can't let your first-rounder sit. But 1 year, I would
Things
take
Things have
1 year.
Changed so much. Things have changed.
Like,
well,
I
look, it'll
for
be...
him. Think about this. This would be crazy, right? It won't happen. Mm-hmm. But how about if he went to Denver?
Oh, I know. Hey, listen, crazier things have happened, you know. I wonder with Denver, we spoke about that last show with the 17 free agents, are they going to be able to keep, you know, Julius and Demaryius Thomas? That's going to have a whole different roster. Listen, I don't think it's a guarantee. Manning's waiting an awful long time. I know Elway said, say, 4 or 5 weeks, but that doesn't mean he has to. I think I'm fascinated that we haven't heard a chirp, a peep, or nothing. By the Super Bowl, he should say something. I don't know. You don't
well,
hear anything from.
Well, Manning's also a respectful dude, though. He wouldn't want to take the highlight away from the Super Bowl. Like, I wouldn't imagine Manning during Super Bowl week would announce anything. He'd probably wait after the Super Bowl.
Maybe. What about at the Pro Bowl? That, you know,
yeah,
who knows?
Pro Bowl's a good place to announce something like that.
Where's well, let's talk about. Everything is out here in Arizona, baby. Glendale. By the time I get to Arizona, the 25th and the 1st, it's coming. It's building up. It's exciting. And we are here, the Final Four. The Seattle Seahawks at 3:05 will host the Green Bay Packers. Ray, I'm a stab at it first because I'm fascinated to see what you think. This game, to me, it's simple, but it's complex because you're having the, you know, number one offense against the number one scoring defense. And remember, this defense in Seattle, they had their ups and downs this season. But once they got Bobby Wagner and Cam Chancellor back, they shut it down. They shut the door. They got back to being who they were. You know, they had the meeting. They got rid of Percy Harvin. The main issue that I have is I don't know if Aaron Rodgers will be mobile enough. I think he'll be worse than last week. And unlike Dallas, Seattle will get the pressure, and they will bring more pressure to move him off his spot. The question is this. Can Devontae Adams and Richard Rodgers at third wide receiver and tight end, or Andrew Quarles, can they get open and can they beat the Seattle Thomas and you know, the Simon and maybe, you know, Maxwell? Can they beat the third, fourth corner, the free, you know, the backup safety, whatever? That's going to be fascinating to me. I think Jordy will test Sherman. I think Rodgers will test Sherman. I don't know about Green Bay's defense traveling, though, and that's been the problem for me. They were good against Dallas, but they weren't great. And I just don't know if they can go into Seattle and do what they need to do defensively. At the end of the day, I think Lynch can run on Green Bay. Green Bay does create turnovers. If Seattle doesn't turn the ball over, there's no way the Packers can win this game. And like Tay does, like Ray does, Tay is sticking with his preseason Super Bowl prediction. And I'm going to take the Russell Wilson, the smartest, with Andrew Luck, neck and neck. I'm telling you, they're Bird and Jordan. And I tweeted that out months ago, and that's exactly who they are. And one day they'll be playing in a Super Bowl against each other, and it could even be this, you know, this year. But I think Russell Wilson is ready to repeat, and I think Marshawn Lynch is amazing, and they make enough plays, and the emergence of Luke Wilson will be deadly. He'll get in there. Doug Baldwin, they have enough. He'll run for over 60 yards rushing. He'll pass and maybe run for a touchdown. The Seattle Seahawks go back to the Super Bowl. Not the Supersonics, because I want to say the Supersonics, because we miss them. We need them. They will beat the Green Bay Packers 26-20. And there will be quite a few field goals in this game. I think the spread is 7, so I don't know if Seattle can cover that spread. Maybe they wind up winning 29-20, and they do. But my prediction is 26-20, the Seattle Seahawks are going back to Arizona. By the time I get to, they're bringing Chuck D with them. By the time I get to Arizona.
So, by the way, that was 23, 24 years ago? By the time I get to Arizona.
Oh, my goodness. I remember
anyway,
like it was yesterday.
Oh, goodness. We'll talk about that on a different episode. But I have to say that on paper and in Vegas, everything points to Seattle. Since Bobby Wagner's come back, that defense is back. They get the front seven, does its thing. The back four does their thing. Cam Chancellor's hurdling people. Earl Thomas might be the quietest, best, unassuming safety in the game. And obviously the two corners, everybody knows about them. They miss Browner for like a second. And then they totally said, you know, Brown, who's that? Right? They totally didn't skip a beat, even though he we'll talk about him in a second in New England. So you say all of that. But you know what? I'm going to say that I have a sneaky suspicion that my man Aaron Rodgers did some, like, platelet, you know, did some Kobe.
He did a Kobe?
Stuff. Maybe
did they bring the German doctors in?
He brought some German doctors real quick and really undercover to Green Bay, Wisconsin. And they did some like platelet stuff on his
blood spinning
on his calf. I don't know about blood thinning. I don't know.
Spinning. They spin the blood.
Oh, spinning. Yeah. His plasma and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say, you know what? Seattle, ever since sort of middle of last year when they became this controlled, you know, really excellent off, you know, sort of consistent offense, I should say. The one thing they don't do, they don't this year specifically. I mean, last year at the end of last year, they blew a few people out on their run to the Super Bowl in the regular season, but they don't run away from you. So I'm going to say this game is going to be close all game, and if the game is close, and if Aaron Rodgers can do it physically, then Aaron Rodgers is going to come back, drive them down for a field goal in Seattle. He's going to say, 12th man, I am the number one man. I am number one in your heart, number one in
your program,
number 12 on my jersey, and I'm going to lead my team to victory.
Wow.
This is in my house, and I live in it here. So Aaron Rodgers takes Green Bay down in the fourth quarter, again, because Seattle can't run away and hide. Green Bay has so much balance on offense, and I think Eddie Lacy runs big.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Aaron Rodgers doesn't make many mistakes. You know, they play ball control, smart offense, and they come back in the fourth quarter, and they win 24-23. Green Bay Packers going to the Super Bowl.
Wow, Ray. Listen, and that's Ray's Super Bowl pick. Denver's gone, but he did have the Packers, so he's going back to them, and he's sticking with them. I'm not mad at you, and you know what? If anybody can do it, we know. As Stephen A. Smith says, and I got to give him props, he says, Aaron Rodgers, that's a bad man. And he is.
Yeah,
he definitely is. Oof, okay, some excitement. I love it. I love it when we're going up against each other with our predictions. It's just great. Well, by nighttime, we will already be looking or talking or texting each other about this game. And at 6:40, we will know who is playing in the NFC in the Super Bowl. But then the kickoff will begin of the young stud, Andrew Luck, at 44 degrees in New England. Cold, not too cold. Doesn't seem like it's going to be any bad weather. Against the man, the machine, Tom Brady and Belichick. This is fascinating in their ninth championship game in the AFC.
Most of them obviously were Manning and Brady.
Yeah. No. I mean ninth for the Patriots. Their championship.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
they faced the Ravens. They faced the Colts.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, number one, better believe that Jonas Gray will be active. This is not the same Colts team as they played, I think, week 12. Now, obviously, Gronk had a big game, but the Colts defense and their rush defense has improved quite a bit since then. And Jonas Gray, look, Sports Illustrated, 200 yards, he buried him. He himself has done really nothing since then. He's only really been active one or two games, but he hasn't done anything. I got to believe he's going to play this week. They didn't use Blunt that much last week. They didn't run the ball hardly at all. And I think this time around, the Patriots will have to run the ball. And I think Jonas Gray will be the key to that, along with Blunt. Be interesting to see if Richardson plays. Didn't play last week. But I think what you're seeing is Boom Herring developing really well. They're starting to get a lot of screen passes. I think he had like 6 or 7 last week. And I think Andrew Luck is learning to not throw. Remember, his two interceptions were like punts. They were down the field. He's taking his chances, but he's starting to dink and dunk a little bit. And I like that. Even though he is a gunslinger, and he can run and move the chains and frustrate the Patriots' defense. Listen, if anybody can shock the world, and we all know the Patriots are very beatable up there in Gillette. You know, the regular season they're great, but they've lost a few up there in the playoffs. And, you know, the emergence of Hakeem Nicks, I think, is nice. Because when you've got Wayne, Nicks, and Hilton, and that touchdown he threw to Nicks was a dime last week, and it was huge. And Fleener and Allen, I think the Colts are primed for a classic game where, you know, they could even shock the world. But when it comes down to it, there's a man named Darrelle Revis. And if he gets tested, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, he will take Andrew Luck to the house for 6. And I think the Patriots run it. they pass it, and guess who's active and doing things now that wasn't really doing it back then? Danny Amendola, who was supposed to be the Wes Welker, not Julian Edelman. So now that you've got Tim Wright, you'll see in this game, Gronk, Jonas Gray, Edelman, Amendola, Tom Brady, he is dying. Remember, he hasn't won in, what, 10 years?
Yeah,
it's a long time.
We think about his Super Bowls, but yeah, his last one came over the Eagles in 2004 season.
He's hungry. He's starving. The Giants took his lunch money twice on miracle plays. I mean, remember, they could be 5-0, not 3-2. That's a whole different air. That puts them past all the Packers and Bart Starr and Lombardi. So at 3-2, they're a little frustrated. And everybody said, oh, you haven't won since you cheated and yada, yada, yada. Listen, it's time. And guess what? The Patriots are going to the Super Bowl, just like Tay picked September 4th on Ray and Tay Today. Listen at rayandtaytoday.com, and you could hear it. And I'm telling you, a good game, and Andrew Luck is not going out like no punk, but the Patriots win 30-26. Very good game. And Patriots, man, they're going to the Super Bowl. Revis is going to take one, too. He's going to pick one off, and Gronk will, you know,
so
get his six for
80. So I love your analysis. I don't have anything major to add. The only thing I will say is a few more points. One is Bill Belichick typically takes something away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams that beat Belichick are either the teams that are so physical that I'm just more physical than you, so you can try to do things, but I run you over. Or the teams that jump ahead of them and, you know, they run away and hide, and they're physical. Or the
get
teams
the pressure
that are so
on Brady,
balanced
yeah.
that you take away my running game, all right, I'll pass on you. Take away my passing game, I'll run on you. So you give Belichick the chance to take something away from you. And, again, you know, you talked about Dan Heron, and, you know, I'm sure he's propping his Ohio State alum, Buckeye Nation, stand up.
He's playing
but
good.
I don't think that they are explosive enough in the running game, and they are balanced enough that if you make Andrew Luck have to make adjustments, and Andrew Luck's a bit of a gunslinger, so I think he will take some chances. I think Andrew Luck statistically will have a decent game. Maybe he'll throw for 280, 300, but he'll throw a couple interceptions. And I think he'll get frustrated. And I think that Belichick has something up his sleeve, and the only way to win this game is to run it right down the middle, to take away those tight ends, get physical with those small New England wide receivers, and hope that Gronkowski doesn't bust you up the middle. I just don't think that all of those things can happen. I think that the linebacking crew, the running back situation, even the secondary in Indianapolis is just not up to par. You look at them, and you can't honestly say that with any other quarterback they'd be in the AFC Championship game. They're not
being
right
a playoff.
Now. Yeah, yeah. They're not right now, to me, a real AFC Championship team, an AFC champion. They
right.
don't.
They're not complete enough. They're not. Complete
I don't
enough.
Think they're complete enough to go into Foxborough, beat New England, and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. So I think this game is actually going to be a little bit of a blowout. I think
Ooh.
That ultimately a lot's going to fall on Andrew Luck. He's going to get frustrated. He's going to throw a few interceptions. I think the score will be something like, I'll call it New England 31 and Indianapolis 23. So 8 points, not a blowout, but, you know, New England in control all game.
Let me ask you this, because we both have the Patriots. If Andrew Luck does do this.
I'm getting a Luck jersey.
Oh, my. Wait. Don't say that, because you still got to get your
Hornets
jersey.
I will get.
But
I'm sorry, Bobcats jersey.
Yeah. But if he does do this, Ray, wow, is he ahead of the curve. And remember, in what, like, they said it was like first 4 years, they both have similar stats, Brady. And now, obviously, Brady's got the two Super Bowls in the first 4 years. But Andrew Luck has what they say, they said they both had an 86.2 passer rating. So they have similar stats, yards, touchdowns, almost the exact, but the same passer rating. That's fascinating. This kid is special. So it would just be, he would take the world by storm, and it would really even be more of a blow to Manning if he did do this early. It really would. But I don't think he will. I don't think he will. And it's not because of him. It's not because of him. You said it perfectly about just they don't have the solid defense special team. It's got to be a complete team, you know. So that's it. So basically, to sum it up, Ray has the Packers and the Patriots in the Super Bowl, two number 12s, California kids, Rodgers and Brady, that rematch of, what was that, week 8 or 9, something like that. Great game. And Tay has You Mad Bro from a couple years ago where Sherman and Brady were chirping at each other and the Seahawks and Patriots in the Super Bowl. Either way, Ray, goodness gracious. I mean, and even if the Colts luckily got in, we'll be in for a happy Super Bowl. This will be a good Super Bowl. But boy, Packers, Patriots, Seahawks, Patriots, you can't lose, can you?
No, it is definitely a football lover's delight. Each of these teams, the good thing, you know what's interesting, is that these teams are completely different. The four teams have totally different dynamics. And mm-hmm. So any of these combinations would be a fun combination. Forget about who you think would win. Any of the four combinations for the Super Bowl, I think, would be very interesting.
And do you remember, not this season, but last football season, the Colts beat that Seahawk team and beat the Niners. And I remember that. I remember
right.
When my young son was sick, I was in the hospital watching the Colts go to Seattle and beat them. I think it was in Seattle. I know they won in San Francisco, but they, they were tough. So, well, that's going to be, it's going to be just a great weekend. It's going to be great. Let's talk about the NBA because you know what? Pretty soon it's going to be what we're talking about all the time, and it is heating up. We're at the halfway point. Most teams have played, and if not by, you know, Monday, everybody will have played their 41st game. There's a lot of trades going on, a lot of moves. It seems like everybody in the Western Conference has improved their roster except for the Spurs and the Blazers. But everybody and their mama has made a move, and I guess the Warriors. So a couple questions. Number one, would you agree with this statement? MVP at the halfway point, I'd have to say, is James Harden, Steph Curry right behind him. Where do you see it, and who do you put one into?
Yeah, it's hard to argue with those two. I mean, you look at the MVP usually comes from a top two or three team by record, and then you look at the individual contributions. And Harden, you also got to keep in mind that his, you know, co-star over there, Dwight Howard,
was out for a while.
In and out.
Yeah,
so he's overcoming injury. He's just been, you know, he's just been amazing. And
27 a game, Ray. Gosh.
Yeah,
oof.
Steph Curry is doing his thing. So,
yes.
You know, how you can't really, I mean, there's
wrong.
Not much, you know, the individual statistics-wise, you know I love my man Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
With what he's doing. It's
just
probably
not
a little
winning
harder.
Enough. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. With that team record, it's probably a little harder. The Grizzlies, you figure, Marc Gasol's going to share the love with Z-Bo and Conley. So there's really,
but Z-Bo's been out, and Gasol's really stepped up. When he was out, he just came back and got busy when he came back.
Yeah,
but,
you know, I can't say I could give you combos like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan could win the MVP.
DeRozan's back. But, you know, it's so funny because this is just like you said there, and you think about combos, but two guys and someone else that could be in the top five MVP voting is Damian Lillard, and it's 30-9. You know, that's my guy from a couple years ago, rookie of the year. Could Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge actually be underrated? They are like a dynamic duo, Ray, at 30-9. They are balling. This is without Robin Lopez for a while. You know, Matthews has been in and out. Batum not healthy the whole time. They've been playing
Lopez,
great.
You hear all these? We got to talk some trade rumors.
Well, no,
over
that's
here.
That's. Listen, I was gonna say, let's jump into it. I mean, number one, So they say for now they're not going to move him. But it was getting pretty hot. I mean, last night on the air on TNT, the three-team deal was almost done. Then this morning, Lopez for Perkins. Hornets backed out. I guess they want to keep Lance Stephenson now. It would have been wild if he went back to Brooklyn. But what do you – this is a minor deal, but what do you think? I actually liked it with your boy who just got traded to the Celtics from the Pelicans, Austin Rivers, going to play for his father. Remember we had from USA Today, Jeff Zilgit on when he – you know, Austin Rivers was first coming into the NBA – and we talked about father sons. Well, now his son is actually, you know, he's going to coach his son. What did you think about that move, three-team deal? And I guess, Reggie Bullock from the Clippers goes to the Phoenix Suns. And then Shavlik Randolph, who's bounced around, been on the bench for Phoenix all year, goes to the Celtics.
You know, it's funny. It's Duke of North Carolina. So it's like Tobacco Road getting traded for each other. We needed an anti-state player, really. To go, you know, 1, 2, 3.
And our Tar Heels took care of NC State after they upset Duke last weekend, so that's good.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, we got to throw some college ball, because think about it. We're mid-January. March is right around the corner. We got to start getting into it. We'll do it. Don't worry, fans. Yeah. Don't worry. Once football dies down, we'll talk a lot of college hoops. But,
definitely.
And in order to keep the roster spot for Rivers, they dropped Farmer.
Yes.
The Clippers. So, you know what? I didn't think Austin Rivers would be much of a professional player. I think he's a role player. It is very fun to see him with his father, though, and maybe his father can get some juice and get some life out of him. I think it's just a bunch of role players being traded one for the other.
No, that's what I said. It wasn't a major deal.
It's okay.
I think it's just more of a great story. But you know what I do like, though? Phoenix is smart in the sense that, look, they got Isaiah Thomas. They have a ton of guards there. They drafted Ennis. So now they're in a position that if Goran Dragic leaves and gets a big contract from the Knicks or whatever happens in the offseason, then they've got Ennis and Isaiah. But they're also smart in the sense that if they lose Gerald Green as an unrestricted free agent, Reggie Bullock can maybe develop and have him and Zoran Dragic, you know, both as two guards to play off the bench. So I think at the end of the day, they're smart where they can say, you know what, we'll wait to the deadline. Isaiah Thomas has been playing well. A playoff team might want that spark off the bench. And they can trade Isaiah Thomas and, you know, keep, you know, maybe lose Gerald Green or whatever and maybe get a stretch four or whatever they need for their playoff push. And I like when they got – listen, Phoenix is making quiet, small moves, but I like Brandon Wright coming in over there. And Reggie Bullock, you know, hasn't developed yet, but, you know, didn't really get the minutes and was a little unhealthy with the Clippers. So, you know, not bad. I think, you know, Phoenix has slowly improved. I don't know if the Clippers will improve from what they did, losing Farmar and Bullock and then just adding Rivers. But, you know, Dallas, we know what they did with Rondo. Houston, Josh Smith, Alexei Shved, and Corey Brewer. And then Memphis. That Jeff Green deal, Ray, that could turn out to be maybe one of the best. So then you wonder, will the Warriors and Blazers and Spurs do anything before
Warriors.
The deadline? If you had to guess, could the Warriors break up what they have, or do they, if they stay healthy, do they just stick? Because right now, they're not even really using David Lee. Could they get a different chip if they move David Lee? I mean,
Lee is a weird fit. Right?
Yeah.
It's one of these guys that...
Because now Green is the man, Draymond Green.
A lot of GMs would sort of say to themselves, okay, he's always been a stat stuffer. He's always rebounded well, and he scores, you know, awkwardly. But how do I integrate David Lee midseason into my team? Especially
and getting a little long in a tooth.
Get a little long in a tooth. His salary is not, you know, he's not cheap. So he's a hard guy to move right now. I would say that they hold Pat... I think San Antonio holds Pat. I want to see Portland do something, though. I want to see Portland just even change for the sake of change, because you've got to figure that Western Conference is so brutal that any little edge you can get, even if it's a couple of possessions, even if it's...
I got something for you. This might warm your heart. There was a gentleman who just... Two gentlemen, actually, they could sign that could help them, but specifically one, but... The Celtics just did a buyout with a young fellow who can tear it up in the playoffs for the Chicago Bulls a couple years ago, drafted by the Knicks, Nate Robinson. And
big Nate to you.
Portland's bench.
Dunk champion.
That's right. Portland's bench is, you know, if Lopez starts, so it's basically Kamen, your boy Robinson, Darrell
Ray
Wright.
Ray McCollum.
No, Ray McCollum's with Sacramento. Stephen Blake is back there. So their bench, Darrell Wright, their bench doesn't have the offensive pump. They said that they have the lowest scoring bench, I think, in the Western Conference or in all the playoff teams in the last 2 years. So what do you think about Nate coming in off the bench? I think they need it. There's times, honestly, when you watch that team, they have trouble scoring sometimes. If Lillard and LaMarcus aren't tearing it up, Wes Matthews and Batum, sometimes they're up, they're down. And off that bench, there's no scoring. Kamen has not been scoring like he used to. Darrell Wright,
you know,
if he's not hitting
too.
A three.
You
know?
He's an interesting guy, Nate, right? You need to really be able to deal with him in terms of he's dynamic and he does different things. He makes your head spin a little bit as a coach sometimes. He'll make some bad decisions, but overall, his effort, his enthusiasm, his drive would definitely help you. You're right. I think it would help you if your coach can stomach it. Now, I was also imagining a Dame Lillard Nate Robinson backcourt.
Oh, hard to guard.
Where you change the whole dynamic because you basically take out Matthews and put in, instead of Lillard coming off, you know, sitting,
yeah,
Robinson
keep, yeah,
playing.
Put him over there because he's a little bit bigger and he can
Nate.
Score. Ooh, Ray, that's what I'm telling you.
That's an
Listen,
interesting
you have to create
twist.
Mismatches in the playoffs and you need easy buckets. Nate Robinson is buckets. Remember that playoff? He single-handedly, when the Bulls had nobody. The Bulls, it was just the Nate show. That was one of the best performances we've seen in the playoffs in the last three seasons.
We'll see. The problem is that was a desperate team playing desperate ball, and these guys are not that, Portland. But you're right, though. If you look up at that Western Conference, you got to say to yourself, how are we beating all of these teams in a seven-game series? We need.
Exactly.
We can't just beat them blocking and tackling, you know, to use
right.
the football expression.
Yeah.
We need to bring some kind of curveball, to use the baseball expression.
Ray. Oh, your
like
boy, by the way, Randy Johnson's
right
going in with the Diamondback cap and jersey, so that's good news. They made that official today. So, wait. So, before we get to our segment, you're not ready, and we're going to have a basketball focus. Two quick questions. You know, obviously the Hawks have still been doing it. The Pistons have been winning. The Hawks are just amazing the way they're playing. But Cleveland, yes, they won last night. They're the sixth seed. It's been sort of really messy, 20-20, Ray. They said no team has been, you know, at this point, halfway point, 500 or worse, you know, to make the playoffs or, I mean, to win a title. This is the whole LeBron love and not using love. Now his back's hurting last night. LeBron's just getting healthy. Then you got to get Shumpert healthy. You're incorporating J.R. Smith, who's shooting like nobody's business. And then juxtaposed, Dion Waiters, Reggie Jackson's unhappy. OKC loses again. And honestly, would you look at it at 18-20? They have to still climb Denver, who's like the hottest team besides Atlanta in basketball, the Pelicans, and the eighth seed Phoenix Suns, who are 23-18 and not going anywhere. Are either one of these teams different types of trouble? But I want your thoughts. Is OKC in real trouble making the playoffs? And is Cleveland in real trouble of maybe not making it to the Eastern Conference Finals?
So yes and yes. I think ultimately, yes, they're both in some trouble. And the issue that you have is that the West is so brutal that I still think you have a team with Westbrook and Durant and you make the playoffs. Now, they're trying to get Brooke Lopez potentially on
that would help.
Team.
They have no post scoring.
That would really, you know, depending on what they had to give up. But, yeah, that would be very interesting. So for different reasons, right? So the West is brutal. And then in the East, which I don't think is brutal at all, especially when it comes to playoffs, right? Nobody in the East has real playoff experience. But you know what? The Cavs are kind of showing some signs of coming apart at the seams, and it's a little too early for that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. The Cavs are in trouble too. Now, I think Oklahoma City still makes the playoffs. I think the Cavs still go to the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't know if Toronto, Chicago, Atlanta.
Nobody scares
you. Really think? Yeah, they don't scare
seven
you.
Game
really
series,
think in a seven-game
yeah.
series where you got to make adjustments, and you have LeBron and they don't. That you know you're not.
And you got Kyrie. Who's stopping Kyrie from scoring?
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
Kevin
you're,
Love.
You're totally
I think
right.
We'll get it together, and you know. But yes, but you're worried. You're worried because it's the 41
oh,
game mark.
Be.
You got to be worried. Yep.
So let's talk about our segment, You're Not Ready, where Ray and Tay, we talk about a player or a team that we think's on the rise that you're just not really checking out, you're not looking out for them, and you're not ready for them. Ray, I was thinking about a player, but when I started to look, I was like, you know what? I like this whole team. And what's interesting about them, I'm going to name some of their players before I just talk about them. Their leading scorer has got basically 19 points a game, 18.9. His name is Nikola Vucevic, number nine in your program. The other night, back-to-back, they beat the Rockets. And this is the Orlando Magic, ladies and gentlemen. They beat the Rockets and the Bulls back-to-back. They are scoring like nobody's business. Put up 124 in Chicago. Spanked the Rockets. This big fella, he needs to be an all-star. He's also averaging 11 boards a game. The young rookie, Alfred Payton, 5.3 assists, but his defense is ridiculous.
Like Gary Payton.
And then you've got Kyle O'Quinn blocking some shots. You have Victor Oladipo scoring like crazy.
There's your guy.
And having against James Harden, 34-6-6 outdueled him at the two guard. This is a bloodhound backcourt. When Tobias Harris comes back, they've actually got four guys averaging over 13 points a game. Victor is at 18, 19 for Vucevic, 16 for 16 for Oladipo. Tobias Harris at 18, and then don't forget. I like the veterans on his team, Evan Fourier. So basically Ben Gordon and when Channing Frye is starting to get healthy. What this team is a team that I think when Gordon gets back healthy next year, I think they're a team on the rise. I like Jock Vaughn as a coach, and they still have an outside shot, even at 15-27, from making the 8th seed in the playoffs. You know, right now they're what, like down at the 11th spot, but they're moving up. And this team is really a team that you're not ready for. They could have one all-star, and Victor Oladipo is on his way to being a second all-star. But we got to see Vucevic get an all-star game this year because the kid deserves it. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not ready for an improving without Dwight Howard. And let me tell you something, Dwight Howard's not winning the championship. So I'll still, even though I picked him not making the playoffs, he's still not winning the chip. And I think this Orlando Magic team is building it slow and building it right. So you're not ready for Tay's Orlando Magic.
Well, I'll one-up you for up-and-coming teams in the Eastern Conference. And mm-hmm. we've got a couple of minutes, so we're going to end the show pretty soon. But I'll say that you're not ready for a team that was the worst team in basketball last year. They drafted number two, ended up getting what we thought would be a very NBA-ready guy, did his thing for the first quarter of the season, got hurt,
mm-hmm.
and done for the season Jabari Parker, and yet the Milwaukee Bucks, mark this on your calendars, ladies and gentlemen, have a better record than the Cleveland Cavaliers by half a game.
And should make
They're
the playoffs.
Fifth place right now, second place in the Central. The Milwaukee Bucks, boys and girls, are a very interesting young team. Unfortunately, Sanders just got suspended again for drug violations, and Jabari Parker's out. But having said all of that, they got Giannis. They've got Bayless. They've got Dudley. They've got Ilyasova. They've got a bunch of guys. Their best player is Brandon Knight. You know, I don't love those combo guards that play point guard, but Brandon Knight's doing his thing. They've got our boy Marshall from Carolina and O.J. Mayo, Chris Middleton. They've got a bunch of guys that are role players plus, but they're in fifth place. And now, granted, they won't stay in fifth place, and Cleveland will you know, overtake them. But Jason Kidd is doing some big things in Milwaukee, and I got to give him credit. You know what? You're not ready. I'm not ready for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Would you say that not only are they going to make the playoffs, but he would have to be in the top three for Coach of the Year?
Of course. I think, and especially when Jabari Parker went down, I thought they'd be right down there where the Knicks are right now, where we'd be banned from talking to them, talking about
who shouldn't be on
show.
Television. They're out there on NBA TV in London. Ray, they should be a ban. Forget about us talking about them. And I'm a diehard Knicks fan, like an idiot. I watch every game. They shouldn't be on television.
Yeah, that's just horrible. So anyway, we got a great weekend. We've got AFC, NFC championships. We got a lot to talk about on Monday.
Woo!
We'll have our Super Bowl. We'll start our countdown to the Super Bowl. We'll start talking college basketball. We got NBA to talk about the second half. So hyped up for the weekend.
Duke Louisville this weekend. You got to watch that Saturday, Ray. Good game.
Yes, for sure. ACC basketball.
Yep, and listen, remember, Ray has the Packers and the Patriots, Tay has the Seahawks and the Patriots, and we enjoy talking sports with friends. We'll see you on Monday.
Have a great weekend. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.